Views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97 on the FM dial, and we live stream at KFARradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Cruz, and today is a Wednesday. My guests are usually on a Tuesday today. It's the Laundry House Gang. Wayne, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Al?
Well, great.
Mike?
Couldn't be better. Got back in town just in time for the cold.
And hopefully Jennifer will be here in a little bit, so we'll get her in here. And Craig Compo is where?
Craig is in Cancun visiting a family there, although it looks like he's having a terrible problem today. It's very sunny and warm. And
deciding what cold beverage to have.
Yeah, he's wearing his shorts and his 49er hat, and he's all ready. I asked him if he had a place to watch the Super Bowl, and he hasn't responded with that yet, but he'll find something there, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
I thought it was more of a business adventure, and he was going to try to sell snow machines down there.
He is
looking for at new markets.
Yeah. He gave his phone number out down there, Al. They can call him if they want the snow machine.
And, you know, if you're needing a snow machine, you know, you got Compos or you got the Polaris dealership. It is, you know, at 45 to 50 below, you probably weren't going to be using them that much. But it's warmed up to minus 10 below, so
woohoo! Yeah, they're going past on the river, and you can hear them. It's a good sound.
Mike, what is on your mind this morning?
Well, we have a couple things going. Wayne has been working on some overreach things, and we'll talk about a little bit. We came up with a new one that Jen brought us a little earlier on BLM 17D1 withdrawals, which were withheld from the state of Alaska and from Native corporations under the land claims. And they
that was quite a while ago.
Quite a while ago, yeah. And the crux of this is a huge planning and environmental effort to look at all these various little different pieces and figure out what to do with them. The thing that I always find interesting about this is, and I wish Uncle Bill Egan had been thought about this and had a little more
foresight.
And that was when they changed into statehood and told us we could select lands. We should have absolutely put our foot down and said first.
Yeah.
We're going to get our lands because we're still, millions of acres, 50 million acres or more short.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, the Fed is doing everything with all these lands and planning little niches here and recreation areas
taking
there.
Taking them off
of the available list.
Yep. Yeah.
And the other thing was, all of this backlash of the federal agencies to anything development-oriented, and you go back to the Statehood Act, and it says Alaska's going to support itself by development of resources and that kind of thing. And, it folded up on that, too. Probably should have been in the Supreme Court on that about 55 years ago.
Yep. Well, okay. Wayne, what's on your mind? Besides the squirrel infestation of your house that you're not taking care of.
Well, I'm trying to take care of my house by solving the vent intake plumbing pipes up on my roof, which freeze up in the cold and frost up.
Wow.
And they've been doing this since 1972. When it happens after a cold snap, I have to go up there with a few gallons of hot water and dump down the vent. Well, somebody recently told me that you can fix this by taking a copper tube that will reach down below the cold roof and putting a T on it, just drop it down there, and it will keep your vent from freezing.
Ah, okay.
So I checked with Ace Hardware, who are selling in their catalog a device called a sewer skewer.
Which sounds like a poopy implement.
Yeah,
it's what I thought when he wrote me about it.
So I went to Ace and I said, tell me about the sewer skewer, and they said, well, we don't have any, and by golly, here it is. I said, does it work? They said, how would we know? We don't know. So having some priceless copper tubing left over from 40 years ago at my house, I went home and fabricated a couple and stuck them down the sewer vents, and over the last super cold snap, my house still breathed, as it should, and I did not smell sewer gas in the downstairs.
Hmm.
So I'm very
successful, yeah.
I'm very excited to tell people about this fix. The problem being, I think, that when my house was built by fits and starts, as some houses are in Alaska.
When you home built it.
Yeah, that was kind of, I've always wanted a level and a square. And measuring tape would have been good too.
On the other hand, if you
eye and that thumb work well.
You know, yeah. If you spill something though, it all goes into one corner.
Yeah. But I think whoever was in charge at that point used sewer vent pipes that were too small.
You?
Well, I don't recall. It's been a while ago. But I think maybe the sewer skewer might be a benefit to people that have the same problem that I had.
Okay.
It's preliminary results, but I did report back to Ace Hardware that I think it might work.
Hmm. Al, any meetings that you've attended here? You were recently in Kotzebue.
Yeah, we were in Kotzebue a little over a week ago. It was a pretty good meeting. There's a lot of exciting things going out in Region 5. And Unit 18, which is the western coastal portion of Alaska, went to a 3 moose bag limit.
Wow.
You know.
Okay.
They got a lot of moose, and it's...
They must not have a lot of wolves.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't matter at this stage.
Yeah.
The problem is access into that country. It's hard to fly into. You got to boat into, or wait till winter season's and snow.
Both of the hunters that get in there will be able to shoot 3 moose.
Where's that area at?
Just like... south of Kotzebue, and then along the coast there, or below Nome, or
rural area.
Yeah, super rural.
Yeah.
Yep. But you know, tremendous moose population, and then in Unit 23, which is a large unit, made up of generally BLM land and refuge land. We went to a 2-bag limit for non-residents for grizzly bears.
Wow.
Yeah.
For non-residents.
Yes. They still have to buy 2 tags.
So you have a very high grizzly bear population.
And the same thing is there's not a lot of effort. I have a 2 or 3 bag limit out there for residents already.
I always try and tell people, you know, in game management, the British in Africa, in the 1800s, they had a person called a cropping officer. They would go in and, you know, lower the population of the elephants or whatever it was that was, you know, doing total destruction, and they called them a cropping officer, you know, government employee, but that's what they did. And so it seems like what this policy does with 2 non-resident bear tags per year, it makes the citizens cropping officers.
Yeah.
We hope.
That's what we do.
Yeah, that opportunity. They're very good, though. Yeah. Very good.
Yeah. The issue with multiple bag limits for non-residents, which has been tried in a few other areas also, even residents, and especially with brown bears and grizzly bears, is that you want to do something with the bear. You don't usually shoot it for food. You usually shoot it for its hide, head, claws, et cetera. And the problem with that is when you start to... if you had a tannery and you took all that stuff to
I was wondering where this was going.
Yeah, and if you took it all to the tannery and had them tan it all up for you, what I'm saying is that to prepare those trophies for display can cost you a bundle. And even some of the very, very wealthy hunters will look for that really good bear.
Yeah.
And they'll spend that $4,000 or $5,000 to get it just like they want it, and then they're not too excited about shooting the second one or a third one.
Al, in that area, what's the biggest, what's a big grizzly bear weigh? 600 pounds?
Mm-hmm. Too big.
Yeah, I would probably say 500? More like 500 would be at the very top end. Okay. It's
350 to 450 is a good size.
250 to...
Yeah. like a big black bear here in the interior.
Yeah. I'm kind of interested in this moose business. With the sea rising with global climate change and things heating up all over, is there less snow out there than there used to be, or why is the habitat supporting such a monstrous moose population?
They did have some fires out there, and that helped on a lot of it.
So the habitat
lack of wolves and bears.
Well, the habitat's starting to suffer now. We're starting to get those indices that, you know, the twinning rates are potentially starting to drop. You know, we had one or 2 years, which is usually a sign of habitat. And so, yeah, they're at a very high population, and they need to come down.
Okay. And they will.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to the Laundry House Gang here on KFAR. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Erickson Events is proud to present Drake Milligan in concert Saturday, February 24th at the Spur. Doors open at 7, music at 8. Get your tickets now at ericksonevents.com.
I need to kind of settle down and let myself get wrapped around somebody's finger, but if I had you, baby, sounds like something I'd do.
Drake Milligan was a finalist on season 17 of America's Got Talent. Simon Cowell called him the real deal. Howie Mandel described him as one of the most successful acts in America's Got Talent history.
Your kiss tastes like whiskey. I'm a drinker.
Brought to you by The Spur and the Westmark Hotel and Conference Center. Don't miss Drake Milligan with Kendall Marvel. Saturday, February 24th at The Spur.
These boots need to keep two-stepping. Them beers on ass keep sweating. That dress needs to keep on spinning around.
This is an Erickson Unlimited event.
You may have a very busy day planned today. I, on the other hand, have but one task, and I do it every day of the year. As your septic tank and your friend, please remember that while you're out doing your work, that I, your friend, your septic tank, am doing mine. Buried in your yard. Please have Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing pump me out once a year. It keeps me regular. I promise to last much longer and serve you much better.
Stay informed of what's happening on the firearm scene today. Tune in to Shooter's Corner with your host, Laura Berkowitz, for news and conversation on guns, your Second Amendment rights, local events, and important legislation. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Rogers Auto Repair has been helping interior Alaskans care for their cars and trucks for 50 years from their same location near the airport on Dale Road. Listen in to Shooter's Corner every Thursday morning at 11, right here on KFAR Radio.
KFAR weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today with daytime highs approaching 10. Northeast winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows around 8 below tonight. Daytime highs approaching 10 above tomorrow. Temperatures above average Friday and Saturday with highs from the upper teens to the low 20s. Slight chance of snow Friday. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. We have someone's alarm going off. Thank you, Al. Appreciate that. But we also have Mike Tinker, Jennifer Uhas, Wayne Heimer, and Al Barrett all in the studio here with us. And we were talking about the game population out there outside of Kotzebue. You had meetings out there, Mike. What were your discussions on? This is the board of game.
Board of game. So the big, more contentious one was Western Arctic caribou, which are down to 125-ish thousand from nearly half a million. And so there's, you know, a lot of things. So the local ACs, the federal advisory committees, and people from the public and villages – basically, we're somewhat unified into saying they're going to reduce their limit. Currently, at the time, it was 5 caribou a day per person, which, you know, seems like a lot. But caribou move.
Yeah.
So they may be only in
an
one
area
village.
For 2 days.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days. So you capitalize on that, and you don't get to hunt them the whole season like that.
Yeah.
So they We amended it all out, but basically what came down after that meeting was a total of 15 caribou, you know, per hunter, only one of which could be a cow.
Okay.
And, you know, that's the significant part of the harvest is they have, oh, somewhere just north of 30 bulls per 100 caribou. So they have, you know, good supply of male caribou to take. And, you know, they've been just whacking the cows out there and calves out there because once that herd moves to an area in the middle of October or so, nobody's shooting bulls no more out in the villages or rural communities. So they're, you know, they're just capitalizing on the females of the cows and the calves. And so I don't know how that's still going to work out. You know, there's really no enforcement out there. Nobody forces anybody to get a tag or a permit, even though they're on the books.
Or a hunting license.
And so this is going to be all self-regulated. If they want to see the caribou herd come back, they got to quit shooting cows.
There you go.
So.
Who made the decision to send you all to Kotzebue?
That was
who'd you piss off? All these hands are going up.
That was a combination of all the board members. So they tried.
Were you on drugs?
Oh no, it was great out there. It was like 8-9 degrees warmer out there than it was in Fairbanks. Yeah, we were only getting 24 to 34 below out there.
Okay.
And like the legislature being remote, a lot of people couldn't get there.
Yeah.
We got a phone call. Are we going to take it?
Yeah. Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Hi, my name's Mike, and I just want to express my displeasure with the Board of Big Game member that doesn't know where Unit 18 is. So how can you correct that situation? Unit 18 is the YK Delta. It starts up around just below Holy Cross and goes all the way down the Yukon and goes not quite over to Aniak on the Kuskokwim. The part of the unit that now has 3 moose bag limit is only on the Yukon part, and it's the part from all the way at the coast up the Yukon to, I don't know, Russian Mission maybe. So anyway, I just wanted to correct something and say hi to all the good guys on the Laundry House.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you very much.
We'll see you in a few minutes, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys do have your meeting today, don't you?
Yes.
What's on your agenda at the meeting?
Some of the same stuff we have here today. There's a couple other things coming up, legislation coming. In fact, some will be before House Resources today. Big game hunting by people with disabilities.
Okay.
To Governor's Bill. State land for remote recreational cabin sites is before Resources today. And that is of interest to a whole lot of people, even if they're not hunters and fishers, you know.
Jennifer, you're recently in here. What's on your mind today?
Oh, gosh. Well, those pieces of legislation, and then also thank you guys for bringing up the 17B issue. I also was just made aware this past week about a piece of legislation sponsored by Senator Ted Budd out of North Carolina. He's taking care of a backcountry aviation issue that affects all of us. I forwarded that on to the group and had a chance to talk to all 3 of the members of our congressional delegation while we were back at SCI Nashville this weekend and getting some engagement from them. The issue is that a fellow with a small plane bought a piece of property, you know, one of those areas where people have kind of McMansions and quite a little bit of land there. Mm-hmm. He did what we all do to make a safety pass to inspect the runway. That's part of the pilot's manual. His neighbor complained about flying low, which anybody who's flown in a small plane knows you want your pilot to take a good look at that strip before you land on it. And so it's the first time he had landed on that property, wanted to make sure, did what it was is normal and safe and accepted and recommended. And he ended up in a 4-year legal battle with the FAA because the citation officer and the neighbor didn't understand what he was doing. And so Senator Budd is got a bill in to clarify this safety practice in the FAA regs, and he's holding up the reauthorization of the FAA for it.
And, good.
You know, that affects all Alaskans. Yeah. It's a no-brainer for our delegation. As happens with politics, sometimes I looked up the bill sponsor, looked up some of the other things. He's a ultra-conservative out of the Senate and out of North Carolina, so then you think, okay, so, you know, where can we leverage things? Dan Sullivan's a natural ally there, and then Lisa's got the Appropriations Committee, so she can help things in the Senate. Then what do you do in the House? We actually need Mary to do something in the House, and nobody's going to say no to her, given circumstances of the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And
with her husband.
And looking at whether the president would sign something like that, we just can't play partisan politics when lives are at risk. And
no.
So we've got to make a press on this, whether it's summertime or wintertime. A lot of us know you drag your skis sometimes once to see what's the snow doing.
Yep.
You know,
see
who
if you
wants.
Get, see if you get color behind them.
Exactly. So that's a pretty important piece of legislation to Alaska that was sponsored by a North Carolinian. But we should all get engaged. And any of our friends from the lower 48 want to fly safely with a pilot when they come up here. So it's Senator Ted Budd's Backcountry Aviation Safety Bill. Laundry House Gang will get you the references, but you can Google it. It's on the Great Alaska Hunting Club Facebook page. I put something up there, too. If you kind of got the look like we might be going to a break, but I got
no, no, no. Okay. My thought was thank you for the update, and thank this person for 4 years.
Right.
That's why you saw that look. 4 years.
Over a loophole.
Yeah.
And the citation officer didn't have to do it, but was clinging to the idea that it wasn't quite clear and it looked like it could qualify and the judges had to go along with it based on what was presented. So let's clear that up and get it settled.
Sounds like a compliance fetish to me.
Yeah. Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Here we go. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio with the Laundry House Gang, and your name is?
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Mark and Kara of the Alaska Freedom Council. It's interesting. We're talking about the wildlife and gaming. I just want to express my concern over the fact that Alaskans are being disenfranchised of their resources. And this is with regard to mineral extraction and development, control over our own wildlife, control over our own school systems. We're being dismantled, and the ERIC system, Dominion, and ranked choice voting is to separate Alaskans further from their resources. So I'd encourage all the listeners to turn right and vote conservative.
Mark, thank you very much. I've got about 2 minutes here, and I'm going to address some of the things you just said. You're very spot on, and that's why the Laundry House Gang is in here once a month, no matter what. Usually on a Tuesday, but I bumped them yesterday, and I had them on today.
That
but
darn politics, anyway.
Yeah, but these people, their group, and they meet every Wednesday. They are the watchdogs for the state of Alaska, believe it or not. They really are. And they're very exceptional people, very talented people, including Wayne Heimer, who can't seem to get a squirrel knocked down at his house.
They're just on break.
But he's usually the smartest person in the room, as I call him, and what the heck? He's very benevolent to his squirrels. That's it. He's benevolent.
And good with sewers.
And good with sewers. And so, anyway, you guys have your meeting today.
Yes.
And where's it at?
Tanana Valley Sportsman's Range on Airport Road.
And bring your own bag lunch.
Bring your lunch.
Everyone's welcome.
Yeah, anybody can walk in the door and sit with us. If they don't cause too much fuss, we won't put them out in the parking lot.
Bring your examples of federal overreach.
Yep. Yes, there you go. Exactly. And your group is one in the interior that really helps direct state policy with the education you have, the people you know, and the inroads you've made with everything. So really appreciate it. Anyway, can I see that again?
Those are the amazing stickers that they handed out at the
Hunting, trapping, fishing, consumptive wildlife users protecting Alaska's natural resources.
Those are there the new go. Trappers Association stickers that we got at the meeting last night for the Old Time Movie Fest.
Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. We have some bumper music for you, the Doors Roadhouse Blues, where you have some Fox News, state news, some commercials and weather. And no matter what, it is not 45 below. We'll be back.
All right.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Taking a test vote to see if there's enough support to send a bipartisan security bill over to the House. Speaker Mike Johnson says he'll let things play out in the Senate and see where it goes before the House looks at this bill.
We're allowing the process to play out, and we'll handle it as it is sent over.
Although the Speaker previously said the bill would be dead on arrival if it does arrive in the House, Minority Leader and New York Democratic Congressman Hakeem Jeffries says Republicans' opposition to this bill is actually the work of a presidential candidate.
What the extreme MAGA Republicans have chosen to do is to follow orders from Donald Trump.
We heard much of the same from President Biden just yesterday. Now, Republicans claim this bill is lax on immigration enforcement, a procedural vote on the Senate bill going on now. And the U.S. military says they've found a missing Marine Corps helicopter with five troops aboard in the mountainous area outside San Diego. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
A European man heli-skiing in the Chugach Mountains has died from his injuries after being pushed into a band of rocks. Alaska News Source reports, according to a statement by Silverton Mountain Guides, a heli-skiing company based out of Alyeska Resort in Girdwood, the incident occurred on the afternoon of February 2nd in the Lake George region of the mountains near the Kinnick Glacier. The heli-skiing company said the man was rapidly transported to Anchorage via helicopter following the incident, but later died at a local area hospital. According to the release, the man initiated a slide on his first turn similar to a typical Alaskan slough, a loose snow avalanche that's common while riding steep slopes, where more snow accumulated, pushing the skier into the rock band where he sustained serious injuries. The release sent via email by Aaron Brill, who founded the Silverton Mountain Guides in 2008, further stated that an incident of this kind has never happened before with the company. Alaska State Troopers said that Alaska Wildlife Troopers were aware of the incident and are looking into it, but that no additional information was available at this time. Silverton Mountain Guides has suspended operations.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Ah, February, the month of love. Car love, that is. Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. How do I love thee? Let me count the miles. We all know that February can be a tough month on our automobile relationships. It's cold, it's dark, and our cars may need a little extra warmth and attention this month. Most winterizations include a battery heater, which is good, but a trickle charger is better. Upgrade your car to a trickle charger and keep your battery fresh and ready to go for just $225 at Fairbanks Nissan. Road debris can also damage parts on your winterization. If you think your car should be starting a little easier, we can inspect your winterization for just $125. And nothing shows love like a little maintenance. Keeping up with your 30,000-mile service intervals is a great way to keep your car happy. And don't forget, Fairbanks Nissan works on all makes and models, not just Nissans. And last but not least, brakes. Brakes are just $299 all the time. So show your car some love, get a winterization checkup for just $125, add a spark to your battery relationship with a trickle charger for just $225, get your next 30,000-mile interval done, and don't forget, brakes are just $299 all the time. Schedule a date for your sweet ride at lessaysyes.com. That's lessaysyes.com.
Aches and pains keeping you down? McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine has the only certified primary care sports medicine physician in Fairbanks. Dr. Malcolm offers a variety of treatments to include ultrasound-guided injections, platelet-rich plasma or PRP injections, and stem cell therapies. These regenerative medicine techniques are cutting-edge and can help your body heal itself. Dr. Malcolm can perform these procedures in office without the need for surgery. Don't let pain get you down. Jump back into life with McKinley Orthopedic and Sports Medicine. Call 456-3338 today.
We're talking men's health with Dr. Tony Nima from Fairbanks Urology. Is the PSA test reliable for prostate cancer?
You got to think of the PSA blood test as testing for something that should be in your prostate but shouldn't be in your blood. If the PSA is up in the bloodstream, that means it's leaking out of the prostate, either because of something going on in the prostate or because of prostate cancer.
Find out more about men's health at Fairbanks Urology with Dr. Tony Nima online at fairbanksurology.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. In the studio with me is the Laundry House Gang, consisting of Mike Tinker, Al Barrett, Wayne Heimer, Jennifer Ulis. You guys are great. Jennifer, what's on your mind?
Well, I got a question from my friend Al, who loves asking some hard questions sometimes, even when they're off topic.
Yes, he does.
But this is my opportunity, because I'm going to give my friend Al an opportunity to explain something that he did.
Use
out
that
the
term friend
I know.
Uniquely.
As iron sharpens iron.
Yes.
Okay. So I do have a couple questions for you. Out in Kotzebue last week, you guys made Ruthie Cusack recuse herself from three votes, and the justification was because her husband is on the National SCI board, she's not, and because the National SCI had commented on the proposals. And my understanding is they hadn't even said whether they opposed or supported it. They simply commented on it. Now, paying attention, I've only been paying attention to this stuff since 1992, so not as long as some of my friends here.
Well, I'll let me ask you a question. Did she voluntarily recuse herself?
No.
So it was a vote. Someone brought up the motion to recuse
correct.
Her.
Correct. Now, and I got to finish this before we get him to...
It wasn't a vote.
Okay, so the chairman
yeah.
made the determination to recuse
her. And no one objected. So, Now, right?
Heinous people.
Now, the thing is, I've only been paying attention since 1992. And, of course, Tinker rate... Well, in this circle, I'm a newbie.
That's two millennia.
I'm decade. Oh, no. Yeah, over a course of two millennia. Anyway... The threshold has always been, at Board of Fish, Board of Game, has been an economic. And you've had trapping proposals, you remember. You get to vote. People who are sitting on their tribal board get to vote when their tribe has commented. I'm having, and several of us had a discussion down there, and I know there's going to be some more formal questions of you guys. I thought I'd give Al an opportunity to explain why they went that way. The threshold's always been economic.
Yeah.
Well... really wasn't up to the other board members. We, you know,
the chair makes the call,
and
but you're a Robert's Rules expert. You know how to object.
Well, and what's the point?
Chair makes the call.
You have to vote if he.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to vote if there's an objection.
And there has been precedent. I remember one time when Stosh Hoffman, who's another Board of Game member, and his wife Anna, is the president or leader of AFN. And, you know, through the meeting found out that, you know, AFN had made some comments, and then he had to recuse himself during that time also. So it's not unlike. And then, you know, sometimes you'll recuse yourself, and when you got to go through confirmation, the legislatures go, you know, either you get beat up for doing it or not. Mm-hmm. You know, when there was a board of fish member that asked to be recused, and the board chair said, no, you're perfectly able to participate. But when you went through confirmation, they were beating up on her bad because she didn't take the initiative and override the chair on it.
Al's doing a really good job of avoiding the question. I'll go back to what you think about whether or not that person should have been accused on that basis.
I didn't think so. I was wondering what the issue was, but that was between the chair and the lawyer and Ruth.
Jennifer, what's your second question?
Well, no,
follow-up
would be that as a citizen, you know, watching that and, you know, thinking, you know, male or female, your spouse, you know, isn't you. So there were a few comments. I'm wearing my women go hunting shirt because we had some of it's a subset within the SCI realm. And it came up, you know, she's not chattel. This isn't the 1800s. And you know, her husband might sit on a board, but they hadn't even said oppose or deny. Mm-hmm. And my question really to Al, though, is that you're not shy, and you'll stand up and gatekeep and bark at anything. So when you said, what was the point, that's the chair, I know that you know how to object, and I know that you know how to say, I move override the chair, and the board can do that.
Yeah.
So it seems like I love you to pieces. It seems a little weasel wiggly to say, oh, that's just the chair.
You weren't the Al Hammond.
I was, but it was an individual that needed to speak up and say, you know, and protest, and then maybe I would chime in on something like that. But
this person did not
protest
the recusal.
No.
Okay. So the issue is that is bigger than just chit-chatting about it. Is the change of criteria?
Yeah,
and that's bad. You know, the board needs to have a discussion on what the criteria is, maybe with the attorney, in one of your this is the end of the meeting type of things, because that shouldn't happen.
I think the issue is even bigger than that. The issue is that, you know, what is the Board of Game there to do? What are they for? And what they are for is very clearly spelled out in the Constitution. But over time, because of who knows what, the board has gotten so bogged down in process and this and that and agreements and whatever else that they kind of missed out on what they do, and they end up allocating – state resources to the Federal Subsistence Board as a result. I mean, it's just it's a bigger issue than just that. Yeah.
All the time. The very biggest overreach we have.
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that statement, but...
Yeah, you allocate them by not objecting to the fact that they are allocating them for you.
Yeah. Jennifer, yeah. Another question for Al? Or another question?
Oh, I have so many. I'll let someone else talk. I've been dominating.
Yeah, and she had to sleep on a cold bed, so I mean, you know, you can't get it going. Well, it was kind of interesting. Our caller last got on, and you noticed David and picked up a subject that we talked about before we went on the air today. It's kind of interesting how these things come circular,
yes,
back in front of us, and you've heard us talk about those of you that we really appreciate have called in and talked over the years about the federal overreach and so many different examples of the things they've done, from John Sturgeon's fight over the Nation River to all kinds of different issues regarding the use of federal lands. And those are state resources. You know, go back to your Constitution. Go back to the Alaska Statehood Act when Congress gave us those things.
Yep.
And then you have federal agencies coming in and just pretending they can do it. And I'm not picking – I am picking on you, Al, but I'm not picking on you individually. The board should have – and the department and the state governor should have erupted years ago when the Fed started to do anything different than what the state does. You don't allocate resources. You allocate opportunity. Mm-hmm. That's what the boards and fishers do. They do not say – you can have two moose and you can have a moose and you can have two fish. They say, we're going to give you 2 weeks to go moose hunting, or 3 weeks, or a month, or whatever it is, depending on the populations and situations in those various areas. So this whole idea about allocating, you know, we're going to this caribou and that caribou, we don't do that. And when the Fed comes in and says, well, we're not going to close the season on federal lands, they're violating the state law right there, because the state set a season out there and closed it. So where in heck is our department? Where in heck is our administration? And you're right, the Land Clearinghouse Gang will very definitely ask the governor, mm-hmm, and the commissioner of these things to get them to go back to that little document Wayne was talking about, our state constitution, and take another look at what it is they should have been doing.
We're incorporated under.
Yep.
Jennifer, you had something to read there?
Just that we put the announcement out each year. We form an advisory committee, which advises the Outdoor Legislative Caucus. Mm-hmm. And so our chairs were set last year, but I end up chairing the advisory committee to those guys. And so Mike Crawford and Ted Spraker of SCI Kenai, John Sturgeon and Lewis Cusack of SCI Alaska Chapter, Randy Zarnke of the Alaska Trappers Association joins us this year. Joe Balash, local homeboy here. Now on
those are two very fine people, Randy and Joe.
Yeah. Joe Balash will be on the representing the Kenai River Sport Fishing Association. Rod Arno of Alaska Outdoor Alaska Outdoor Council. Sorry,
he's a great guy too, man. You got an A list there.
And Matt Little joins us this year from Ducks Unlimited. He's their regional policy coordinator, and I chair that through the Outdoor Heritage Foundation.
Nice. That's an A list. Good for you. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break here. If you have a question for the Laundry House Gang, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255, and we'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Explore winter trails you never thought possible. Stand, float, walk on snow with better traction and stability than walking down the street. Modern snowshoes are the perfection of a 1,000-year-old idea. They're lightweight and versatile, easy and fun to use for all ages. If you can walk, you can snowshoe. Get the exercise you crave. Let it snow. Go explore. Start today. No lift ticket required. But first, find the right style and the right fit at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Breathe easy and save money. Natural gas is not only cleaner for the environment, it's also more affordable. Delivered heating oil is about 45% more expensive than natural gas this winter. Bottom line, natural gas is a cheaper, more reliable, clean source of fuel. And switching to natural gas from wood or oil can help clean the air in Fairbanks and North Pole. A natural gas service line can cost as little as $350 for residents and $500 for businesses. To apply or view coverage maps and more, go to Interior Gas Alaska.com.
Weather brought to you by The Woodway. Toyotomi oil heaters have warmed interior Alaska homes for decades. Efficient, quiet, and reliable. Buy yours today. The Alaskan way. The right way. The Woodway.
KFAR. Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today. Daytime highs approaching 10. Northeasterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 8 below. Daytime highs approaching 10 above tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. That's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. In here with the Laundry House Gang. Now, Al, you said something during our break. You said you made a big mistake.
Yeah.
What was that?
I occasionally
mistake?
Do that. But
We all do.
I make one or two at every board meeting.
Okay.
And, you know, it's always 20/20 hindsight, because when you rethink what you were doing, there's a lot of fast thinking.
Yeah.
When you're sitting up there. And so the one thing that I didn't catch and didn't cross my mind was in Unit 23, we had two proposals. One was asking to eliminate non-residents. It was one of the first proposals we took action on. And that proposal had an amendment to it. And within that amendment, we were going to change the bag limit is when we started talking about changing the bag limit for locals. And we also included that we would not change the bag limit or season for non-residents. And it was voted 7-0 and passed as amended. And then earlier in the week, we had another proposal come for Unit 23, which was talking another portion of Unit 23, which was also talking about eliminating non-residents for caribou hunting. And that one had another amendment to it. We basically matched
what you did on the other
The other one to match this one, 15 caribou, one which may be a cow, and non-resident season and bag limit wouldn't be eliminated or wouldn't be adjusted. And then one or two proposals after that, there was an actual proposal that was just plain and said eliminate all non-resident hunting in 23. And so that, you know, I actually said something to the chair in that one and said, we just made two votes prior. You know, I don't think your roadmap's is correct, because we have already decided twice that non-resident season and bag limit shouldn't be changed, and now we're talking about it again. And didn't get much traction, so, you know, went along with it. And in short, one, the non-resident season and bag limit went to a draw hunt up to 300 permits, which, you know, doesn't make the guide industry real happy. And two, I didn't think about, you know, reconsidering the vote on that. So
Okay. There's
myself.
Jennifer.
Which one of those would have, now, a couple of those ones where Ruthie had to recuse herself went 6-1. Which one would have come out different? I know one of them would have come out different because it was 3-4, 3-3, something.
So Ruth was recused from proposal 2, which was a 6-0 vote, which passed 38. And 38 was a 6-0.
So she would have made a difference on this.
Nothing.
No, there's three.
And then fourth one was to eliminate non-residents. So she was only recused for two of them. The one that changed the non-resident season, the one to reduce the caribou, so that was proposal 36 and 2. She was recused on 2 and 38.
Okay.
And so the extra vote, one way or the other, went to change the overall vote.
Okay. I'll look it up later. She was saying one of them would have changed that she was recused from.
Okay.
Oh, not, or that's maybe a different proposal.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what do you want the regulation to say on the two that you didn't change the non-resident things on?
Pretend you're the clerk doing the
regulations now.
No, what he said was on the third one that came in on this, the non-resident hunting period.
Right.
they should have had to bring that up.
Well, they changed the other two proposals.
Because they addressed that in the other two proposals,
with
Caribou and Moose, and if he would have asked for reconsideration, he probably, because he was on a winning side, he could have changed it maybe.
A question for me is what actually happened with the non-resident season?
It went to 300 drawing permits.
Yeah, okay. You know, there's an interesting story, you know, historical story, which is where I live, about this interest in banning non-resident this and that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know whether we have the time or the interest to try and run through that.
You brought the economics of sheep hunting from non-resident hunters very well and what it does for the state of Alaska.
Yeah, it does. And, well, the way we got... There's always been a me-first thing for residents as long as I've been, back when I was young.
Yeah.
And it comes and goes. Well, it is this last go-round, it has come and it has stayed. And the origin of it, it resides in now a regular NGO that is pretty influential called the Resident Hunters of Alaska, RHAK, which came about as a result of the Board of Game years ago banning airplane spotting for adult sheep. A bunch of guys thought that was something that shouldn't be banned, guys that flew Super Cubs and could afford them and apparently enjoyed that sort of hunting. They thought that was really bad, that the board granted that as a result of some other things that had to do with adult sheep at the time. And they formed an NGO to look out for their interest in airplane hunting. Well, they've hired an effective executive director. The charter membership was $1,000. I couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept an eye on it anyway, and they eventually hired an aggressive executive director, and we have had proposal after proposal after proposal from this NGO, special interest group, to stop resident hunting for one reason or another for
stop
every species.
Resident or non-resident?
Non-resident, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm trying to hurry.
Yeah.
And I did. I think I'm done. But it's out there. It's real. It's influential. And it's a special interest that the board has to consider.
There you go. Hmm. When's the Board of Fish meeting next?
2 weeks.
And where's that at?
About
Cordova?
No, this one is, I think it's in Anchorage. They're,
okay.
This is the Upper Cook Inlet meeting.
Okay.
They have a holdover of a couple of things from their Kodiak meeting. And then a whole new slate of proposals and issues, and there's a lot of energy going into getting ready for that now. I was teasing the headshed at the department this morning about whether they were working on it or hiding. Biologist types like to deal with what they can count and what they can chart over the years and see whether things are going up or down and like that. The questions become when the board members start to ask them, yeah, you have 422 of those, but what does that mean? And then they have to think about it. You know, it's a different analogy or a different thought process to get to what the meanings are, other than the fact that there used to be 200 and there are 300 now.
Okay. Yes, Jennifer.
So I know we've only got a few more minutes left, but the Board of Game will be meeting here in Fairbanks in mm-hmm. March, mm-hmm. leading up to the Alaska Trappers Fling. A lot of those folks will be in town and going to the fling. At the meeting last night, they said tickets are going fast. So that's one of the better banquets here in Fairbanks. You know, we've got so many in the wintertime to keep us busy, but that's one of the better ones. And get online, read the proposals, participate in the AC. Is the AC meeting tonight?
Mm-mm.
Next week?
I don't think so. Next week, I think.
You have the Quest banquet tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, but
the Fairbanks Advisory Committee that she's talking about is one of the most active in the state in terms of watching out for the grandfather issues and trying to keep the trends and policies going in the same direction.
And we feed the comments into the Board of Game, which will be meeting here in Fairbanks on the how many days before the 16th, the last day of March the meeting is?
Yep, 30 days prior.
Yeah.
Well, we got about 5 minutes left. Last 5 minutes of every Lunder House gang, I always ask a question. Mike Tinker, what are you doing this month to go hunting or fishing?
If I was going out tomorrow with the weather cramping up like this, I would get my ice auger out and go to try some ice fishing locally.
I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking about Quartz Lake, so I have to make up something else.
Quartz Lake, the reports that I got from guys that fished there just before it got cold was that They had trouble finding the bigger fish. They found a lot of little ones. Mm-hmm. So if you're planning on a trip like that, you want to give yourself some time to look around and prospect a little bit maybe.
And when you go out there, make sure you have a snow machine from Compos or a Can-Am from Compos to get you out on that ice safely.
You don't want to get stuck with a Can-Am right now, but a snow machine will probably work.
Al, what's your recommendation?
Well, I save my ice fishing for when it's cold because I can sit in a heated hut and fish. So I'm going to check trap line.
Who in the family?
You're past your ice fishing.
You should have to recuse yourself from that because it's your son that has the ice houses there.
I rent from the state.
Mr. Tinker, other than getting squirrels, what's your recommendation?
I'm going to tinker.
I'm sorry.
Some more with the sewer vent issue. I'm fascinated with vents.
You're starting to mass produce them now?
No, but I want serious data before I make a complete business of sewer skewers.
Jennifer, what was your recommendation for getting out this month of February hunting or fishing?
Well, first thing I'm going to do is fix our heater that we came back to not working from Nashville so that I can get outside. But since I'll be laid up this week fixing that, I'm going to lend my buddy Heimer my unused squirrel traps from my shed so he can...
You know, I'm going to go a different direction since you took my ice fishing. My thought is this month, with the warmer weather coming on and the more sunlight, downhill skiing.
Yeah,
I'd be doing some downhill skiing.
You know, an add-on to that, Dave, is if you watch, the News Miner has picked up on some lately. Because of the angle of the sun and everything, there's some real photography opportunities right now. And people are getting beautiful sunset pictures and that kind of thing.
Mr. Al Barrett, how goes your reclamation of work?
It's going slow. It's, you know, we just come out of a good deep freeze, and so, you know, not wanting to go around and look at buildings at the time. So, you know, things are warming up now, and so we'll go start looking at some more buildings. I got a couple leads on a couple, and, you know, and I'm trying to learn how to rewrite a resume.
Al, you know people pay me to do that for them. I'll help you with it.
You could probably get a radio job, Al. Yeah.
I was thinking the mayor needed an assistant or something.
Yeah. Oh, boy. we'll make you the face of Fairbanks. Mr. Heimer, any fun plans for the weekend other than home projects?
No. Well, it's nice that it's warmed up a little bit. The Chena is apparently frozen stiffer than it was. Snow machines are going by. If I get really wild, I might take a ride.
Jennifer, where's your next travel to?
Oh, the next travel? I'm done with the fun out-of-state stuff. It's just back and forth to Anchorage for some meetings.
Okay. Anything of importance on the outdoor area?
Well, we've got the SCI Alaska Chapter Banquet coming up the third week of February.
That'll be good.
That's a big one. Governor's usually there, usually some of our other elected officials. But get 1,000 people in the Denina Center. It's got some real good auction prizes there. And there's a lot of stuff for the little guy. You know, we went to a couple things down in Nashville this year where we showed up, and usually they got some $20 things, some little ways you can raise some money, but they got some good silent auctions there. It's worth the travel. And there's a special at the Marriott. You can stay there pretty cheap. I'd say if you got the time, go on down for that.
There you go.
Yeah, there's a assistance for Al auction that's going to take place on the 18th of March.
February.
18th February. That's pretty
soon.
It'll
be over at Compos.
Okay.
Starting early evening, and it'll be a pretty big shindig. There's some neat stuff coming on there. I keep telling Al he's not allowed to bid on it.
It's a Saturday night.
It'll be Saturday night, and I think it's going to be a really nice function. It'll be a feed, too, not a banquet type of thing.
Beast feast,
Compos
called it.
A beast feast, yes, a beast feast.
Fairbanks, that is our show for tonight. Laundry House Gang, thank you very, very much. Have a great meeting, and Fairbanks, I will see you on Friday.